Learn Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph Maseches Megillah as we continue to go day by day, one Amud at a time, through Maseches Megillah, hoping to finish in time for Purim. We are holding on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We are at Mikol Makom Kashu Krai Ahadadi. I believe that's where we got up to yesterday. Mem Mem Kashu Krai Ahadadi, the fifth line on the page. So we had discussed yesterday, we left off with a discussion about the big mistakes in figuring out when the 70 years of Galus Bavel was going to end. We know that we were only supposed to be in Galus in between the first and the second Beis HaMikdash for 70 years, but there were mistakes in figuring out when that would end. So Achashverosh thought he got it right, turned out he got it wrong. He knew Baal Shetzer got it wrong, but he thought that he was going to get it right, turned out he got it wrong as well. And what we mentioned yesterday was that there's an 18-year difference between what was originally thought would be the end of the 70 years and what was actually the end of the 70 years. An 18-year difference. Now, where did an 18-year difference come from? So that came from different psukim that seemed to contradict each other. So the Gemara points out, well, what are we going to do with the contradiction in these psukim? Mikol makom kashu krai adadi. At the end of the day, we do have a contradiction in psukim. Ksiv melos lebavel, and Sefer Yirmiyahu, it says that when 70 years are completed from Bavel, or completed for Bavel, so that clearly that indicates that 70 years of Golus begins when Bavel took over, when Bavel was in control of the Jewish people. But Uksiv, we have another pasuk that says in Daniel, L'charvos Yerushalayim, that the 70 years begins from when Yerushalayim was destroyed. So which was it? Was it from when Bavel took control 18 years earlier, or from when Yerushalayim was destroyed 18 years later? So Amarava Lifkidu Bialma, 18 years earlier, when Bavel took over, is when 70 years from then is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu started remembering us, but not when he actually did anything about it. He didn't do anything about it and didn't actually redeem us, didn't actually help us until 70 years later, until 70 years after the 18 years later, until 70 years after Yerushalayim was actually destroyed. V'hainu d'chziv, ko'amar koresh melech paras, ko'amal melchosaretz nasan li'ashem melekei ha'shamayim v'upakadal ay livnos lo'bayis b'Yerushalayim. That's what the pasuk says, that Koresh said the kingdoms of everywhere has Hashem delivered to me the kingdoms of everywhere, and he told me to build a Beis HaMikdash for him in Yerushalayim. But you see that the bottom line is that right after the 70 years of Bavel, of the reign of Bavel started, that's when Hashem started remembering and started commanding, let's get working, let's get moving on trying to build the Beis HaMikdash. But when did the Gula actually happen? Only 70 years after the destruction of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly that means, that Hashem wanted Koresh to build the Beis HaMikdash. Darsh Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, May dechsiv ko'amar Hashem l'meshicho l'choresh asher chzakti b'yemino. What does the pasuk mean when it says that Hashem spoke to Meshicho Koresh, to his Mashiach Koresh? V'chi Koresh Mashiach haya? Was Koresh Mashiach? Ela amla Koresh baruch l'meshiach. No, what it means is Hashem said to Mashiach, Kovla ani lecha al Koresh, that I have a problem with Koresh. I got big issues with him. Ani amarti hu yivne beisi v'kavitz kol yosai. I thought that Koresh was going to be the one that would gather in all the Jewish people from everywhere, and he would actually build the Beis HaMikdash by himself with his own hands. V'hu amar, and he said, mi v'cha mikol am avial. Koresh said, oh, whoever wants to go up to Yerushalayim, whichever Jewish people would like to go ahead. You have every right to go ahead. So it was nice that Koresh let us go, but that's not what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted him to do more. Hashem wanted him to be actively involved in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that was the story with Koresh. But now we go back to discussing the actual Megillah itself. So we're going pasuk by pasuk. So the Megillah has an expression, Chel Paras U'Madai HaPartimin, that tells us about the armies of Paras and Madai and the noblemen of Paras and Madai Uksiv. But then the pasuk also says, L'malchi Madai U'Faras. So you see that the order changed. First it was Paras and Madai, now it's Madai U'Faras. So Rav explains the reason the order changes is that Asnuye Asnu Badadi, they had a deal between the people of Paras and the people of Madai. Iminon Malchi Minaychu Apirchi, that if they each one said, if the king comes from us, then you get to appoint all the governors from you. Viminaychu Malchi Minon Apirchi, but if the king comes from you, then we get to appoint all of the governors. So that deal that they made is hinted to by the switching of the order of Paras and Madai and Madai of Paras. going further in the Megillah, Baharoso is Osher Kavod Malchuso, says that the king showed off his wealth. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Melamit Shalavash Bigdei Kohuna. You see from here that Achashverosh actually wore the clothing of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Ksiv Hacha, because it says over here, Yukar Teferes Gedulaso, it describes his clothing as a Teferes, as a splendor, a glory. Uksiv Hasam, when it describes the Bigdei Kohuna, it says, Lechavod Ulitefares. There's that key word again, Teferes. So you see that Teferes relates to the Begadim of Kohanim, I think specifically the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol that Achashverosh had worn. So I guess that will be main point number one. Achashverosh actually wore the Big Day Kohuna. That's the main point number one. We go further in the Megillah. Uvumlos Hayamim Ha'ela. When those days were over, after Achashverosh had invited everybody from far away, then he started inviting people from where he lived also, from the local town that he lived in. So Rabbi Shmuel, from Shushan, Rabbi Shmuel of Machlokas, whether that was a smart idea or a stupid idea. Is it a smart idea to first take care of the people who live far away and then take care of the locals? Or is that a bad idea? Is it a much smarter idea to first take care of the locals and then take care of the people who live far away? So Chadamar Melech Pikechaya. One of them says that he was very smart. Chadamar Melech Tipeshaya. The other one says that this was a foolish thing, a stupid thing for Achashverosh to do. Man Yamar Melech Pikechaya Shapir Avid Dekar of Rechika Bereisha. The one that says that it was a smart thing to do said, yeah, better to get the people who live far away to like you first. If the people that live close don't like you, you have plenty of time to bribe them and to calm them down and to get them to like you later. But the people who live far away, you don't have such access to them. So you want to make sure that they like you first. The one that says that he was a fool, that he was an idiot, that it would have been much smarter to get the people that lived locally on his side, because at least that way, if anyone else from anywhere else would rebel against him, he'd at least have his own people to defend him. But if he never got the people that live locally on his side, so who's going to defend him when things get difficult, when things get tough? So main point number two, a machlokas, whether it was smart or stupid to invite the far away people before the locals of Shushan. Machlokas, whether it was smart or stupid to invite the far away people before the locals of Shushan. Shalom Talmidus Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Talmidim asked Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai the following question. Why was it that the Jewish people deserved to be wiped out in that generation? Meaning there was this terrible gzeira to wipe us all out. We were saved at the last moment in the 11th hour. God swooped in and saved us. But what did we do to deserve such a gzeira? Amar lahem imru atem. So like a good Rebbe, he said, why don't you guys tell me? Tell me what you think. So Amar lahem shenenu misudasu shalosu rasha. He says, probably because they got hana'ah, the Talmidim answered, probably they deserve to be wiped out because they got hana'ah, they got benefit and enjoyment from the su'udah of Achashverosh. So then his response was, nah, that's not a good answer. Im kein shebeshushan yehargu shebekolom kulo al yehargu. Then only the Jews in Shushan should have gotten killed, but the Jews everywhere else did not benefit from Achashverosh's party, should not have deserved the gezeirah of getting killed. So Amrulo Emarata, so the Talmidim said, yeah, yeah, that's why we asked you, because we didn't have any good answers, so why don't you try to give us an answer now? So Amrulahan Mipnei Sheshtachavu Letzelem, he says, no, it's because in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, they all bowed down to an idol. So because they all bowed down to an idol, that's why they deserved it. How do we know that in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, they all bowed down to an idol? Because we make a big deal out of the fact that three heroes, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, refused to bow down to an idol, and instead were thrown into a fire, were thrown into a furnace, and they are great heroes of the Jewish people. The implication is everybody else did bow down to the idol. So because of that, we deserve this terrible gzeira. So Amalot, the Talmidim said to Rishon Ve'echai, V'chimaso panmi yesh b'davar. Wait, if we actually bow down to an idol, then why didn't Hashem actually kill us? Why did He only threaten to kill us, have this gzeira made against us, and save us? Amalahem, heim lo aso lefanim, afa kodosh baruch hu, lo aso imahen el lefanim, v'hainu duchsiv, ki lo inim ilibo. That really, when we bow down to the idols, we didn't believe in the Avod Zarah. It wasn't like a religious worship. It's just that we were being forced to, so we made the physical motion like we were bowing down, but there was nothing going on in our heads that we were serving an idol. So Hashem also, it was like an outward expression that Hashem had of, oh yeah, I'm going to kill you all, even though He didn't actually do it. So main point number three, the reason we deserved the gzeira to be destroyed was because we did Avodah Zarah, but we weren't actually destroyed because it was insincere Avodah Zarah. It was insincere. So we go further in the Pesukim of the Megillah, Bachatzar Ginas Beis HaMelech. So the party happened in the courtyard, garden, house of the king. So which was it? Was it in the courtyard, the garden, or the house? Rav Shmuel, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Chadam Aroy Lechatzar Lechatzar Aroy Legina Legina Aroy LeBeisan LeBeisan. Whoever deserved only to be in the Chatzar was only in the courtyard. Whoever deserved to be a little closer in the garden got to sit in the garden. And whoever was really Chashuv and who deserved to be in the palace got to sit in the palace. But Chadam, or the other one, says, no. He didn't break it down based on class or rank or anything. No, he just opened the doors, invited everyone in, but he first wanted to have the whole thing in the chatzar. He wanted to have everything in the courtyard. The courtyard wasn't big enough. So he decided to open up the gardens. Begina, so he opens up the gardens, but that wasn't big enough either. So he had to open up the actual palace doors, and that was the only thing that was able to actually hold everybody. And we have an Ebraisa that says that it really set them up in the Chatzar, but he opened up two doorways, one to the garden and one to the palace. As they were all sitting in the Chatzar, they each got to they got to look into or take a walk or take a tour of the garden and the palace, even though they were sitting out in the Chatzar. So that's three possible explanations of why it is that it says garden, palace, and courtyard, garden and palace. Again, either it broke down based on who you are, or it was just based on space. He kept on having to open up more rooms. Or it was really everybody was in the courtyard, but they took tours of the other two places. Then the Megillah goes on to describe chur, karpas, utcheles, that there were cloths there made out of chur, karpas, and tcheles. My chur, what is chur? Rav Amar Chari Chari. Rav says that it's something made with needles and needlepoint, so it has a lot of holes. Ushmol Amar Milas Levana Yitzilem. Shmuel said it's white wool that he spread out, very expensive white wool. Karpas, what's karpas? Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, Karim Shalpasim. It's cushions made out of, or pillows made out of very, very nice wool also. Al Galile Kesef Amudi Sheish Mito Zav Kesef, and he had everyone sit on silver and marble and couches of gold and silver. So again, it describes so many different types of things. It describes marble and silver and gold. Which was it? Was it silver? Was it gold? Was it marble? What was it? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Haray Le Kesef Le Kesef, Haray Le Zav Le Zav. Whoever deserved to sit on silver sat on silver. Whoever deserved to sit on gold sat on gold. Amr La Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Nechemia said to him, Im Kein Atamatil Kina Basuda. Elohim shall cast for Raglay and Shalzav. He said, no, if you give everybody who's at a different level, different types of chairs, people are going to get very jealous of each other. That's not going to work out very well. You're going to start fights right in the middle of the Suda. He didn't want to do that. The only fight in that Suda was going to be between him and Vashti. He couldn't have other fights going on there. So what did he do? Why does it say gold and silver? The seats themselves were made out of silver. The legs were made out of gold. Bahat Vashesh, it describes the couches had Bahat and Shesh. So Amravasi Avonim Shem is Chutosabalehin. This is talking about the kind of stones that people look for to be able to buy. The Chenuamer Avni Nezer Misnosisos Alad Maso. Like stones of a Nezer, of a crown, that after you really, really work hard, you're able to finally buy these things. It's not so easy to find these stones. That's the kind of precious stones that he had everywhere. Vidar v'socheres, and there was dar and socheres. What does that mean? Rav amar dori dori. It means that there were rows of these stones all around the place. Shmuel amar even tova yesh bekar chayam uvidara shema. That there's one particular type of stone that's found in the oceans, in the faraway places, and it's called dara. Hoshiva be'emtzu su'uda umi'irulam katzarayim. And he put it right in the middle of the meal, and it's so sparkly, this stone. It's so beautiful. It's so radiant that it gave light to everybody who was at the meal. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Debei Rabbi Shmuel says, no, you know what Dara is? Shekara Duror L'chol Ba'al Yischara, that Achashverosh gave a tax break. He said, no sales tax today for anyone who's selling things. And that got the economy going a little bit more quickly, because no one had to charge sales tax. Every once in a while in New York, they'll say a weekend off or a week off of sales tax in order to get the economy going, in order to get people out shopping, and it works. People buy a lot more because of that. So we go on to Darshan. Oh, so I guess main point number four over here will be where everybody sat in the party. Where everybody sat in the party, the garden, the courtyard garden. Three interpretations of the courtyard, garden, and palace. Right, we mentioned them before. What were those three interpretations? Again, number one, either that it depended who you were, whether you sat in the courtyard, garden, or palace. Number two, that it was all about space. They had to keep on opening up more space till they filled in all these areas. And number three, everyone sat in the courtyard, but they got to look into and take a tour around the palace and the garden. So we go on in the Pesukim. Vashkos b'chleizav v'kelim v'kelim shonim. The drinks were served in gold, and one kli into another kli. So mishunim yivayleit. Should have said mishunim, not shonim. That there was all different types of kelim. So amarava yatsa baskal v'yamar lahem rishonim kolim v'nei kelim v'atem shonim v'hem. That the heavenly voice of Baskal came out and said, think about what happened to Baal Sheitzar. Baal Sheitzar was destroyed because he used the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. And you're doing the same stupid thing. You're making the same mistake he made. What do you think is going to happen to you? The Yain Malchus Rav, the Pasuk describes, the wine was Rav, was plentiful. So Amar Rav, Rav explains, that it teaches us that everyone was fed wine that was actually older than they were. Vahashtiya Kedas, and it says the drinking was Kedas, was like the law. My Kedas, what does that mean? Amar Rav Yechonim Mishum Rav Meir, Kedas Shel Torah. Das means the law. It's, that's why in Israel they call someone who's religious, who follows the law of Torah, Dati. Right, it's das. It's someone who follows the law. So Rabbi Chanan Mishum Rav Meir says Kedas Shel Torah, that the drink was like the Torah would want us to drink. In that, Ma Das Shel Torah Achila Meruba Mishtia, just like the Torah would like us to drink, where we eat more than we drink. Afsu Das Shel Sarasha Achila Meruba Mishtia. In the Suuda of Achashverosh, there was more eating than there was drinking. And the Megillah says Ein Ones. No one had to be forced. Amr Blazim Lamech Kalecha Bechelishko Mien Medinaso. Meaning the wine was delicious to everybody because everybody got wine that came from their hometown. So it was the kind of wine that they liked and that they were used to. Sometimes you go to a new place and they have different kinds of food and it's hard to get used to. You go to Israel and it's like the main meal is lunchtime and dinner there's very little to eat and it's like everything is just a little bit different, a lot more olives and things like that. So it's just difficult to get used to a new diet, a new way of eating. But Achashverosh made sure that everyone was fed wine from where they came from. And then lasos kirtzon ish v'ish, to do like the will of ish v'ish. Who's that about? Amarav lasos kirtzon Mordechai v'Haman. Mordechai and Haman were in charge of the drinks at the meal. Mordechai d'chsiv ish Yehudi. How do I know that Mordechai is one of the ish, one of the people described as ish over here? Because the pasuk also says Mordechai is an ish Yehudi. And Haman ish tsar v'oyev. Haman is also described as an ish in the Megillah. Generally, ish means someone who's very important, very chashuv. So Mordechai is ish Yehudi, is the ultimate Jew, as Haman is ish tsar v'oyev, the ultimate bad guy and enemy. So they're both very important and very high up in what they do. Main point number five, the wine at the party was older than the people, came from their hometowns, was less than the food, and Mordechai and Haman were in charge of it. And that is all for today, for David Beis Amral. We will pick up, God willing, continuing to read through the Pesukim, the Megillah, with the Gemara from Gam Vashti Amalka, Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow.